Well, hello, hello. Well, my name is Shay Kirshner, and it is a beautiful day in Yakima, Washington, and I am just taking Dr. Don Cowan's place today and for the next couple weeks. And I would just love to just talk to you today about the Bible and about God and about spirituality, about faith, and we'll just keep it simple. So anyway, what a beautiful day. I'm sitting here drinking some Starbucks coffee, wonderful, and I was just walking and just noticing the beauty of the creation. What a great day to be alive. I mean, do you ever just want to just be and just realize that we get so busy doing and doing and doing that sometimes we forget to just stop and just enjoy, to enjoy the life that we've been given, to enjoy the trees and the beauty of the smell and the air and the atmosphere. And it was a real blessing, and to, you know, enjoy the good old Starbucks coffee. Anyway, I wanted to share a little bit about faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, it says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And what I have found is that when I enjoy what I've been giving, when I start to be thankful to my Creator, to my God, then I am blessed, completely blessed. And I have been blessed with the Bible. I love the Bible. The Bible creates so much passion in me because the Bible is a revelation of what God has done for you and for me, and that we can learn about our God. And so I would like it, if you have a Bible, to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And I just wanted to start out this session, this great day, to just speak a little bit about reality, about Jesus, about eternal life, about faith. And hopefully this will come together, and I want you to be so encouraged today and just to be built up. To be built up that you were created in God's image, and that regardless of what's happening in your life, if we put our focus on the Lord, put our focus on Jesus, even if we don't understand it all, if we look to Jesus, He has everything in His hands. He is our hope. And faith is looking to Him. To start out, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, I'm going to be using the King James Version of the Bible. I have another version here too, the ESV, there's the NIV, and you can use whatever version that suits your fancy. So I'm going to be using the King James Version. And the letter to the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, is where I'm going to be. So if you're there, just want to look at a few verses to help us to understand what's happening right now. God, who at sundry times, that's various ways, and in different manners, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, God, in different ways, in different manners, at different times in the past, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. And these were a specific group of people that God chose for a specific purpose, to reveal His Son into the world. God chose a specific people called the Jews, the Hebrew nation. And we can read about them through the whole Old Testament. Genesis through Malachi is all the story and many stories that point to one story, that point to the His story, Jesus. And we can look through the Bible and see Jesus. Verse 2. Has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. See, God, in different ways, in different times in the past, spoke to the fathers through the prophets. A prophet is one that God speaks to the prophet, and the prophet would speak to the people. A priest is another term in the Bible. And a priest, instead of speaking to the people come to a priest, and the priest speaks to God for the people. Does that make sense? So God, when He wants to speak, He uses a prophet. Well, now, the writer of the Hebrews says in verse 2 that in these last days, He's spoken unto us by His Son. By His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So God has spoken in these last days. That's what the writer's saying. And from the time that the book of Hebrews was written until now, it's approximately 2,000 years. So for 2,000 years, we have been in what is the Hebrew writer is terming the last days. And that word last means conclusion. That there was a big climax in the history of this Hebrew people, a big climax in the history of the world. It was the fullness of times that happened 2,000 years ago. The climax when Jesus came and Jesus walked this earth and Jesus went to the cross and Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day. This was a climax. This was the last days. And the word eschatos means last. It means the conclusion. It means it denotes the time when the development of God's plan of salvation, of deliverance, shall come to close. The time of final and decisive judgment last. Has in these last days that God's plan is now coming to a close. That God's climax has happened because God spoke to us by His Son. That is what the writer of the Hebrews is saying, is that His Son, we want to hear what His Son is saying. That everything in God's Word, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, it comes together and is revealed by His Son. That God has spoken unto us, not just by prophets, not just in different times, but now in these last days by His Son. He is the climax, He's the conclusion. He is the final Word of God. And so when we look at Jesus, we will see God. So what is it that God wants us to hear from His Son? Well, the writer of the Hebrews goes on. He says, verse 2 again, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Before I go on, I want to speak about the word his son that the writer's using. His son. It's not just a man. It's not just a person like a son and a father. The word son here has implications that mean it's not just by birth, but it means son in the relation of his moral characteristics, that he's like him. That he's like him, and throughout all time, we see different ways and different religions, and some of us sometimes we feel that to be accepted by God, I have to act a certain way. To be accepted by God, I have to act a certain way. If I do this, then God will do this. That, my friend, that, my precious brother, precious sister, precious person that was created in the image of God, that, my friend, is religion. Religion says that I will obey so that I will be accepted. But that is not what God wants us to see. And the whole Bible is the revelation of God's gospel, of the good news, of God's grace. This says it's not about what you do that gets you accepted. But God wants you to know. God wants me to know. God wants us to just drill this in our heads. That he accepts you first. The way that you are. That you are completely accepted of God because of what Jesus has done. And that when I know that, when you know that, when we really truly understand what Jesus has done for us and that God has done everything for us, then we will want to obey because of the joy that the gospel produces in our hearts. He spoke unto us by his Son. Jesus did everything that God wanted. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. We have all broken lives. We don't always do what is right. We sometimes fight to do what is wrong. But Jesus was one that didn't. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was a man and he was God. He was God's Son, and he came, and the Bible says that everything that I do pleases the Father. And so the writer wants us to understand that God, because Jesus did everything to please the Father, that Jesus is this human being, this God-man that came to this earth, And that did the will of God, that did it completely, that died and that rose again, that he has appointed him heir of all things. And that is so incredible, that Jesus has all power, that he is the heir of all things, that he has been put in charge of all things, that right now, a human, the new human, the new, the Jesus, who has been risen from the dead, who has an incorruptible body, that one day, that we that are Christians, that we that are believers, that we that follow after Jesus, Christ followers, that one day will follow and be resurrected to have that body. He has been appointed heir of all things. And not only that, he has not been appointed to be in charge of all things, but this same Jesus, the Bible says, this same Son, he made the worlds. So God made the worlds through the Son. That's what the Scripture is telling us, that in these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son, and he has made the world through his Son. The worlds, all time, not just the cosmos, not just the universe, but the times, that every section of time that we have experienced has been orchestrated by God the Son, by the Son. Three. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, now this is awesome, what did He do? When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much God loves His cosmos, His world? That He would send His Son. That He became a man. Great is the mystery, the Bible says. That God became a man. That all other forms of religion is how we can get to God. Is how we can grab God and touch God and see God. That's religion. That's what can I do to get God? What can I do to get God? But God says, I want to get man. And I want man to know. I want my world back. I want to restore the world that I created. I created these precious people to be in my image. And they have started to reflect other images that are not me. And I am dependable and I am good. And the things that they're trusting in, the things that they put their hope in is going to let them down. It's going to create pain and agony in their hearts. And God knew what He was doing. And it says right here that Jesus, who has been appointed heir of all things and who made the worlds, is the brightness of His glory. That Jesus Himself, that the Son that we see in the Gospels, that we see in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, these little accounts and these stories of the miracles that He did and the healings that He did and the compassion that He showed is the brightness of God's glory. It's emitted from a luminous body. It's like, this is how I shine. Do you want to see me, God says? Then look at my Son. And when you see the Son, you will see me, God. You will see God. He's the express image, the King James says. The exact representation of His person. It's all about Jesus. He's the exact image of His person. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. The word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the Majesty, on the right hand of the Majesty on high. This is an amazing statement. First of all, that if I want to know God, if I want to know my Creator, if I want to know who created me, the Scriptures here, the Epistle of the Hebrews, is telling me that if I really want to have a concept in my mind of God, if I really want to understand who God is and what God is like, that I can find that information out when I look at the historical figure and history, the name Jesus, the Son of God. If I read the Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, that I can see, that I can understand who Jesus is. Because once I believe, God gives me His Spirit. The Bible says that Jesus, through the Spirit of God, will come and live in me and teach me all truth. Truth is what is real. It's the reality of what's really there. So what did this Jesus do? What did Jesus do for us? he upholds all things by the word of his power. That everything in the universe, that all things, it says, is upheld by the word of his power. That there's this power that's inherent. This power and this word means it's like dynamite. It's like the power is in the dynamite. And it's dynamis is the Greek word. And this power is released like an explosion, like a bomb. You know, it just boosh. It's the power of God. Paul says in the book of Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, of the good news of God. I'm not ashamed to realize that it's not about me doing this so that God will accept me, but it's about what God has done for me and for his world. I'm not ashamed of this. And he says, for in it is the power of God, the dynamite of God, that's in it for everyone who believes, for the Jew and for the Greek. And that would hold all people. That in it, in the gospel, in this good news message, in what Jesus did, that Jesus is the King of the world, that Jesus sits on the throne of God now, that Jesus died for all my sins, and Jesus rose again from the dead. When I believe this, it says that there is a power of God. For I am not ashamed, Romans 1, verse 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. For it is the power of God for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, Romans 1, 16. Let me read it one more time. For I am not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel of Christ, of the good news. For it is the power, it is the dynamite, it is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto transformation to everyone that believes. You see, in the gospel, in the good news, in believing this message, there is a power that is released, that brings us unto salvation, that transforms us, that brings us into this family of God, and God gives us His Spirit that starts to help us to walk, and He molds us and makes us into the image of His Son. See, God loves us. God has forgiven us. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Precious person, listen. Regardless of who you are, Jesus died on the cross for you. And for all of your sins, and for all of my sins, all of our sins that we ever committed on the past, listen, and all of our sins that we will commit in the future, in the fullness of time, 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a cross by himself, the Bible says, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, God became a man, purged our sins. He wiped them away from us, as far as the east as from the west. Regardless of what you did yesterday, of what you did tomorrow, or will do tomorrow, of what you did last year, of what you're currently doing right now, the reality, the truth of the matter is that your sins have been purged. But you say, well, why am I the same way? What is it? Why am I struggling with the same way? Listen, we have to believe the gospel. We all have issues. There's issues. But the gospel is the solution for our issues. It's about what He's done for us, not about what we can do for Him. And until we really begin to glimpse it and comprehend it, will the power of God, the simple power of God, be released in us, and we will be delivered and saved from whatever it is that's gripping us, that's grabbed us. Now, I want to just illustrate this, if I may, to illustrate this in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. Now, in the book of Mark, that's one of the books of the Gospels. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we see power. That's what I want us to focus on. The power to change our lives. We can't work it up. It's not something that we have the ability to work it up. At least the scripture says that the power is in the gospel. In the message of the gospel, and in believing the message of the gospel, the dynamite is released. The power for transformation, for change, for deliverance, for salvation is released. Now, if we will look at this, and I want us to grab this concept, faith, though it's powerless in itself, because it is. Faith in itself is powerless. Faith, though it's powerless in itself, listen, is the channel through which Jesus' power works. That word power, the dynamite. Faith, though it's powerless in itself, is the channel through which Jesus' power works. What do I mean? Well, let's look at this illustration in the life of Jesus. When he was actually in his 3-year ministry, he was teaching. You see, he was going around and he was healing people and he was teaching people about this new thing, this new way called the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's power, God's healing power to this world. And he was bringing this through the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying that God's world is breaking in, that God's world through me is now breaking in to your world, to our world. And this is what Jesus was bringing. And that's why when Jesus was doing miracles and signs and wonders, they were signs and wonders of another kingdom, of a kingdom that God wanted on earth as it is in heaven. That God's rule over people, that we would reflect His image. And so when Jesus would come in and heal somebody, see, He would say, everything is possible with God. All things are possible with God, with God's kingdom. See, in man's kingdoms and in man's world, we have problems, we have disease, and we've been plagued by these, and we've been broken by sins and brokenness in our lives. But Jesus came in and hung around with us, hung around with these people like us who are weak and poor in spirit and have been broken and have been hurt in our lives. And so Jesus would do a miracle. He would do a sign. He would say, check this out. Here is a piece of what God is doing and what one day the whole world will be renewed. One day the whole world will be restored to the way that God wants it to be. And these are signs and these are wonders. So you will look and you will say, that's a sign of the kingdom. Or you will look and you will wonder and you will go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so people would hear about this as they would walk along. And so some people, like the story that you're going to be reading today, some people would be hurting and broken. And they would hear about Jesus, you see. And because He was the Word of God, because he came, and the demons listened to him, and the diseases fled from him. Everything that he touched, he healed. See, that creates in us, when we hear that message of God's word, of God's power being released, that causes us to have faith in God. That's a channel that his power can be released. See, our faith is our belief. It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And we get this from hearing about Jesus. So let me just start. Okay, we are in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Oh, I pray thee, I pray, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. So here is this man, when Jesus is passing and walking, and people are gathering unto him, here is this ruler of the synagogue, this Jewish man who has this daughter that is dying. And he comes to Jesus and his daughter, and that you could just almost sense in your head what this man is feeling. And he came to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Isn't that wonderful? That this guy asked Jesus to come, and Jesus thought of him as important enough to come. Well, here, this guy is a ruler of a synagogue, but Jesus went with him. And much people followed him, and they thronged him, they touched him, and they were, it was like a big crowd of people. And certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. I just know it, that if I may just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Her issue was solved. She felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Now check this out. And Jesus, admittedly knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Excuse me. Let me try that again. I turned two pages at once. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that word, that power, listen, that power had gone out of him, turned around in the midst of the crowd, and he said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Are you crazy? Thou seest the multitude thronging you, they're touching you, they're pressing at you, and you said, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her. See, Jesus made eye contact with her. What was she doing? That had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and she told him all the truth. What was the truth? That I did it, Lord. That I touched you. That I was the one that touched you. And your power has healed me. Your power has saved me. Your power has delivered me. And he said unto her, listen to Jesus. Daughter, thy faith, your faith, has made you whole. Go in peace. Go in the absence and the end of strife. Are we always going? Are we always pressing? Are we always striving to get something in this world? Are we always striving in our religion to press on to God? Are we always striving and working it up, trying to perform better for God? Jesus told this woman, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And peace is the absence or the end of strife. The absence or the end of strife. Peace is good. Peace is what God is bringing. Peace is a healing peace to our soul, in our spirit, that one day will be in our bodies and be whole. Jesus, be complete, in verse 34, of your plague, of what was plaguing you, of what was bothering you. And Jesus would go on, and he yet spoke. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. I am in your midst. I am in your midst. And he suffered no man to follow him. He said, don't follow me except you, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Verse 38, Mark chapter 5, verse 38. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. That was the little girl, the little daughter, the 12-year-old daughter. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. She was probably hungry. She was probably hungry. Notice, though, that here Mark is putting in his gospel two different stories that contrast each other. Here's a woman that had issues. For 12 years she was bleeding, and she went to all the doctors and the physicians, and she was suffering very much, and nobody could heal her. And here's a daughter that was 12 years old and died, and Jesus brought her back to life. And here's a woman that believed, that heard about Jesus, that heard about him, and that knew, that had this faith, that if she could just touch him, he would heal her. Here's a man that loved his daughter, a father of a daughter that loved her. And then she was so sick that she was dying, that just knew that if he could get to Jesus, that he could fix the situation. Because he has all authority, because he made the world, and because the climax has come. We see this. We see Mark contrasting this. That the faith, though it's powerless in itself, is the channel through which Jesus' power works. And it's true, because if we look, and I'm going to be wrapping it up and closing in a moment. But when Jesus, the next chapter, in chapter 6, he goes to his own town. And his own town where he was raised and where he came. And these people are all looking for the Messiah. They're all looking for the one, the prophet that would come, the one that would come and deliver them of all their sins and heal them and be with them. And look what happened. He went there and it says, verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from when has this man these sayings? I mean, where did he get this wisdom? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are made by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Hoseas and Judah? Don't we know this guy? Isn't this just Jesus? Isn't he just a man that we know, that we lived with, that we grew up, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, verse 4, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And verse 5 says, and he could there do no mighty work. He could do no mighty power, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people, sick folk, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. See, faith, though it's powerless, in itself is the channel through which Jesus' power works. Without faith, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God. Faith is believing that what God has done, he's done it because God wanted to do it for us. Faith is believing the good news that God has accepted us, and therefore I can and will want to obey. Faith is realizing that God is good, and that he can bring this. See, in our little story about our woman, I see something. In verse 26, it says that this lady, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, chapter 5, verse 26, this woman that had an issue of blood, for 12 years, verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. See, there's a principle that I see in here, that I see for this lady. It's like, how do I get God's power? How do I believe the gospel? How do I change my whole thing? Where does it even start? I would suggest that this text shows us that sometimes We have a need. And we try to meet that need. We have this longing, this need, whatever it is, this issue in our lives. And we can't be healed from it. We can't be delivered from it. And we try everything that we can. We strive and we try to get it fixed. So the first thing is that we must see our need. We must see that we have a need. This woman saw that she had a need. What is your need? What is it that you need in this life? Well, she found it. Because once we really understand that we are needy, that we are really needy, our need, our knowledge of our need will propel us to look for a cure. You see, we'll be looking for a cure. And sometimes I think that's what we're looking for in life. We're looking for little cures that will help us here or help us there. But there's only truly one thing. The truth will set us free. Because it's when we're looking for a cure, it's when we hear about Jesus. It's when we hear the gospel being preached about Jesus and what he's done for us, we realize that that would make our need, that that will fix us. You see, she saw that Jesus is what she needed. It wasn't another pill. It wasn't another drug. It wasn't another doctor. Her need was Jesus. That was her need. Her need. She went and she thought that she needed this and she needed this. She just wanted to touch Jesus, to reach out and touch him. That's what she knew. It wasn't about knowing everything there was in the faith, and she might have known the faith. She might have known the scriptures. It wasn't about just about hearing about him, or it was about she heard of what he was doing, and she recognized her need, and her need was that she needed Jesus, and so she touched Jesus. She went into the crowd. She heard there's this man that's preaching this good news of the kingdom, of God's healing power coming to this world. That God wants to make us whole again. That Jesus, that she could touch Jesus. And he could heal her. And so she pressed upon him. And I wonder if even in the midst of our confusion, because it was a confusing time in the text, it was confusing because there were a whole bunch of people and they were pressing upon him and pressing. And sometimes life can be confusing and we need so many things and we want so many things and sometimes we don't know what we need, we don't know what we want, or we want what we need, we don't need what we want. We can press on to Jesus because he's ultimately what we need. He himself purged our sins and is set down at the right hand of God. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus take the time to come to redeem his world? He did it for us. He did it because he loved us. And that is ultimately our need. Our need is to be loved and accepted by Jesus. And he does. And so as we press on him, as we press and touch him, even in the midst of our confusion and in the midst of crowds, since he is our true need, since he is what we need, we become whole. And this lady, her issue was dried up right then. And sometimes in our lives, it's right then when we touch Jesus, when we see our need and we press on and touch him. And we have faith that he can heal us or he can bring the situation to a close in our lives. And sometimes it's a gradual process that we just need to be focused on Jesus. and just be touching him and keep on pressing upon him. Because sin and brokenness has just came into our lives and has broken us, and we're broken people. But God is there to heal us. God is there to be with us. And God wants us to join him in this world. Join him to be healing of this world, to show Jesus. So how do we change? How is the power of God released? Through the belief. Looking to Jesus. Seeing how it's about Jesus and not about us. Seeing that he is our need. Pressing upon him, looking at him, being in awe of him, and just looking at him. And once we do that, we will realize that we love him too. And not only that, but as we look and we gaze upon Jesus, as we see that he's seated at the right hand of God, that all authority has been given to him, and that he is our Lord, that he is our King, that he purged all our sins, and that there's no condemnation, no judgment, no guilt in our lives because of what he did for us. I want to be changed. I want to see Jesus. I want to press on to Jesus. Jesus says, just keep on looking at me. Just keep on pressing into me. God says, just hear my son and what he says. It was the great stone face. Listen. In a pleasant sunny valley, surrounded by lofty mountains, lived a boy named Ernest. On the side of one of the mountains, in bold relief, nature had carved the features of a gigantic face. From the steps of his cottage, the boy used to gaze intently upon the stone face, for his mother had told him that someday a man would come to the valley who would look just like the great stone face. His coming would bring joy and happiness to the entire community. Mother, said the boy, I wish that it could speak, for it looks so kind that its voice must be pleasant. If we're to see a man with such a face, I should love him dearly. So Ernest continued to gaze at the great stone face for hours at a time. Several times the rumor spread that the long-looked-for benefactor was coming, but each time when the man arrived, the rumor proved to be false. In the meantime, Ernest had grown into manhood, doing good wherever he could. The people in the village loved him. Everyone was his friend. As he became an old man, Ernest was still looking for the arrival of the long-expected one. One day a poet came into the valley. He had heard the prophecy about the great stone face, and at evening when the sun was setting, he saw Ernest talking to some people. As the last rays of light flooded the massive outlines on the distant mountainside, they fell on Ernest's face. The poet cried aloud, Behold, behold, Ernest himself is the likeness of the great stone face. Then all the people looked, and sure enough, they saw what the poet said was true. By looking daily at the great stone face, Ernest had become like it. If we gaze intently on Jesus as our teacher and example, we'll become more like him. Pray with me as we close. If you want a relationship with Jesus, he is your need. Love him. Look to him, your creator who created you and who loves you. And just pray like this. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Father, forgive me for my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and make me into the person that you want me to be. Thank you. And until next time, God bless you. I hope that you are encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, and amen. Hey, everyone, enjoy the weather today, and just be. Stop doing, just be. Realize God loves thee. Amen.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.